see what we got here.
Whoa, that lamp is really showing up there.
Yeah, that lamp back there, that's like a UFO taking me up. Let's see that again.
Right. I always wanted to see you on lights, but not glare necessarily. There we go.
Tag me. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
While you're offering the introductions here, by the way, now, my name is John. I'll give you the honors of doing yourself.
I think my name's Joe, from what they told me, unless my parents lied to me.
That's what we pay you for, bud.
That's right. So we are here, and we are ready for a little action from the Verve label. It has a nice local flavor to it.
Welcome to Yowza Studios, where the Neon My Show, the Neon Beat, is produced, and where Joe drives over here for about a half a mile, lives just up the street from me. It's interesting how you and I got involved, you know. He was doing an article on my radio show, just having heard it on out of the belly of a raccoon.
Belly of a stuffed raccoon from Radio Shack.
Radio Shack. It was a radio raccoon.
Yes.
With a speaker in its belly.
Yes.
And I was playing, I forget what I was playing, but some kind of jazz thing, and it attracted him, and he sought me out. And I didn't know, and this is synchronicity for you, well after he had interviewed me over coffee, that the guy actually lives just about three blocks away from me.
Synchronicity. It was like synchronicity. The police were screaming that song the whole time.
Wow.
But yeah, I actually listened that afternoon quite comfortably on a new screened-in porch, wondering, what is this? It sounded so good. And then it was Kansas City, Here I Come. And it was just, I was like, I got to. And I think I put that video up on YouTube, and you were like, wait, who's this guy? And then that was it. That was the beginning.
There it was.
Beginning of the magic.
Well, I must ask you, do I look like I sound?
No.
Everybody tells me that.
I thought you were going to look like an accountant. Like somebody that would be like a typical accountant dude that would, like, you were moonlighting. I don't know why, but they just had that feeling.
Well, yeah, I'm an engineer, and really not an engineer. I'm a technician for a radio station group here in Kansas City, but I don't wear a bow tie. I would have been wearing the geeky, you know, thing, the plastic. Yeah, the Ace Hardware plastic protector,
yes.
Pocket protector with the, you know, with a little screwdriver in it and a couple of pins.
Yes, yes. But yeah, it was delightful. It was serendipity, and... look at that look the count's given right there. I mean, that's a serious, serious look right there.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what phone call he's on, but he is, it's basic.
Hey, stepping into a Tesseract there.
Yeah.
A little Doctor Who action.
That's right.
All right, well, let me drop a needle on this.
Yeah.
I got it going. Where'd you get this fella?
This was actually Amanda's dad was getting rid of a bunch of vinyl. And this was a part of it. There was a lot of Oscar Peterson. There was a lot of old school. Like there was like Ray Anthony was in there. And I had some options tonight. I even have Jimmy McPartland. And there was some great stuff, man. But Count was on my mind tonight, so I figured let's do it.
All right, some classic vinyl. Let me drop a needle on this one. Love that rumble.
Oh, man.
Get it, Bill!
Get in there! So as we listen to this here, and we were talking about the beginnings of this show, which is serendipity, and this is the 533rd show that we recorded tonight. I actually interviewed a jazz guitarist out of New York City. He reached out. His name was Charlie Apicella. We had a great interview today. He leads a band called Iron City, and we were just getting into it, and I was like, there's a lot of New York guys that are reaching out that want to be on Neon Jazz, that dig what we're doing with the interviews and dig what we're doing with jazz. And it just reassures us and me that this venture, which would happen anyway, is actually doing something, which is cool.
Yeah, you got a chemistry with those guys. I've been noting that as a broadcaster, been doing this for about 35 years, long enough. 35 years, I'm not going to sit here and try to add it up. Having gone the gamut from classical music to jazz to rock and roll and now playing what it is I'm playing now, Sinatra and all of that.
Sure.
Just your style with him is very personable. You're disarming. You're not going in there with a typical... This is not a critique I'm doing here, but I've just noticed you're not going in with the typical announcer, you know, thing with your notes ready to tell them what you know about them and about jazz.
Right.
You say, this is such and so. He's here to talk about himself and his art.
That's it.
Go.
That's it. Get in there and do it.
And they love it.
I dig it. And the one thing that I find interesting about all of this is, and I was telling him that today, there is that parable. Hey, oh, thank you. Look at that. Just got a cookie.
Thank you, Casey.
That's delightful. And
Casey, bringing the cookies.
That's beautiful. And this is gonna lead into what I was saying. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? This is what I was gonna say. And I told Charlie this story today. There was a story where Paul McCartney says that he was hanging out at a party with Bob Dylan, and at one point he said to Bob, "What's the meaning of life?" And he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And she's gone now, because Paul McCartney and them, they were totally stoned, and he put the piece of paper in his pocket, and the next morning he couldn't find it, and he was like, I didn't find the meaning of life. And I've thought about these interviews. I don't want to get way too profound with this, but I do want to say that the jazz individuals that I've interviewed, and this is like 520 something that I've done, their level of being humble and wise and imparting knowledge has been epic. And I think I'm figuring out more and more from them what the meaning of this whole thing is, because they've got it figured out, man.
Well, and maybe not figured out, just asking the right questions.
Right.
In this case, through their art.
Totally.
Man, if I got it figured out through my art, which is this, then I probably would go all of a sudden instant karma. I just disappear in a poof of ecstatic. I got it.
I'm gone.
Bam.
Yeah.
Disappear with an audible pop.
Spontaneous combustion. Yeah. Bam. You're out of here. No, that's totally true. But I think there's something that we're going to learn from this, from all of these things that we love what we do. I mean, this is a job that's a labor of love, but it also adds to the notion that these guys have such wisdom, and they have such a beat on how I don't know, they got things figured out, man. And it's always refreshing whenever I can hear them talk about it and get bathe in it a little bit, and then let the world know.
Some of your best interviews have been the ones where the artist that you're interviewing will basically talk about life.
Yeah.
Even though he's talking about his art, the art is a microcosm for what and for where this came from, where these thoughts, these ideas, and this expression came from.
Absolutely. Well, I always try to ask those questions, and it always throws people off. They're always like, I've never heard this before. Like, my final question usually is this. Everyone has a perception of who you are. Your family, your friends, the people that buy their music. And it also gives me the opportunity to say, who do you think you are? Without coming right out and saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?
Anyway,
get your shine box. So it had to happen. So, it, you know, asking them that, it disarms them to a certain degree. And they're like, whoa, wait. I need a minute, or I'm not sure. And every time, it's like a 50-50 split. They'll get to the end and they're like, is that what you wanted? Is that the right answer? And there's no right answer to that. It speaks volumes about who they are, that they're even at that point. And some people don't like to evaluate themselves, and others do it simply, and others really delve into it. But it's that human touch. They're really getting into the crux of it, because it's one thing to make music, but there's a person doing that. And I want to know who that person is and what's driving them to get the notes out of their horn or the keys or whatever.
And I'm convinced in listening to what you do, that's exactly what they love about you.
I'm just standing on the shoulders of giants, my friend. That's all I'm doing. While we listen to Count, I'm going to do something here, which is one of my favorite things. I get the pleasure of opening my mailbox, and Bill Denny, you'll understand this because of all the autograph hunting we did when we were kids. We wrote all of the notes to the baseball players and called them at their hotels, true story, and asked them, if they would sign stuff, and we would go out to the mailbox every summer, excited and giddy. And that's that childhood dream of the mailbox is a reality these days, because every day I come home, I get several packages in the mail from jazz labels. And this one here is from Lisa Reedy. I'm going to open up. And let's just see what CD we got.
In the meantime, take note of the two gentlemen that are sitting here doing this little presentation, and the song that actually happens to be playing right now. A Misbehaving.
That's right.
Saving my love for you.
Oh, I remember that. The baseball bat. I do remember that. One of the more epic stories is this Cascades, and I'm going to show you Al's album that I got from Lisa Reedy. Thank you. Bill just brought up a story with all of those years that we would call these people up. We called up this guy that was playing for Boston.
Yeah.
Marty Barrett at the time, and he was supposed to give a baseball bat away. And there was a kid that was there that I believe had leukemia, and he gave the bat to him, and it just didn't work out. He didn't have an extra baseball bat. But we used to get those guys that would come out, and they would have things they would give us, and things would come up. And I woke up Wade Boggs. I woke up Jose Canseco, and we just had a ball doing it. It was very silly, but it was awesome. Those were solid gold memories. But
This is why the man introduces sports.
Yeah, that's right.
into the patter every now and again.
Yeah.
Well, after all, didn't Casey Stengel say that sports is life with the volume turned up?
That's it. Speaking of. Love it. I don't know. Do we have anything else?
I don't know.
Henda, I will send you over a address that you can send CDs to. I like the digital format too. I can give you the email, or I can give you a snail mail. Thank you though. I am always open to getting new material. Our goal around here on the show is to mince the old with the new, and it is a progressive line, jazz is, right on into the future, so we dig it. We dig it the most.
Cool. All right, we'll kind of let Basie trail out here.
Yes.
How far do we got to go on this particular number? Well,
as we enjoy our sugar.
Yeah, we do.
So diligently got.
We got our cookies, we got our music.
We are ready.
We got our man cave. Hey, man, what else do we need?
Oh, man.
As we say here in the studios, enjoy the music, my friends.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Neon Jazz.